Our second reading this morning is from Mark's Gospel in the sixth chapter, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 55, listed again for the Word of God. Now the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. And when they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that he might touch them, even with the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Here ends the reading. May God bless it to our understanding. And will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, let your word be rightly preached and truly heard this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. One day there was a lumberjack that challenged another lumberjack to a contest to see who could chop and stack the most wood in a day. Well, the first man worked steadily all day and produced a very large pile of chopped wood. The other man worked steadily for the best part of an hour and then rested 10 minutes. And at the end of the day, he had an even larger pile of stacked wood. Well, the first man was surprised. Frankly, he had considered the other man to be a slacker for taking so many breaks. But he had to face the facts, and the fact was that the man who had chopped and stacked an amazing amount of wood did so while taking his rest. And the first man asked the second man how he had accomplished that. And the second man replied, "Well, I work a bit, and I rest a bit, and I spend a bit of my resting time sharpening up my axe." In today's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples to do something. And I believe he often tells us to do the very same thing. What he says is, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." In other words, he tells them to take a break and devote some time to being rather than doing. Often, Christ tells us the same way. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Often he tells us to take a break and devote some of our time to being and doing. Yet often we ignore this command. We want to follow Jesus and we're willing to take action. But when it comes to rest, when it comes to Jesus telling us to take a break for a while, well, then we respond with disbelief, as we would do something significant for our Lord. But resting for our Lord, well, that's just too simple. And so we ignore what Jesus clearly tells us to do. Jesus has good reasons for telling his disciples to rest. They have just returned from a mission on which he had dispatched them. He sent them out in pairs and in haste. They were not to encumber themselves with any gear or supplies, but simply trust to local hospitality to meet their needs. They were not to linger where they were not wanted. Instead, they were to be always on the move, calling people to repentance, casting out demons, anointing the sick. It was work they had never done before, and once they returned, they must have been truly exhausted. Many of us do critically important work and find ourselves exhausted, yet we don't rest. We may even believe that we cannot or should not rest. We push ourselves in a way that we know would be inhumane to push anybody else. Our life may be productive. We may check everything off our daily to-do list, but deep down, we recognize that something's wrong, that we lack a sense of deep meaning, And so we feel more than a little bit cheated. The disciples had returned from their travels, but the pace in this reading has not slackened. As today's gospel reports, they were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Does that scene sound familiar to you? Is your workplace like that? Is your home like that? Are even your vacations like that? This is a common experience for people today. Many are coming and going and have no leisure even to eat. Family suppers have fallen by the wayside in bowing to sports schedules and such. Jesus listens to the disciples as they report on all they did and all they taught in the numerous places that they visited. He does not, however, tell them to throw themselves back into action again with even greater abandon. Good job, let's double that. That's not Jesus' message here. He doesn't ask them to do something big and difficult. Instead, what he asks for is disarming in its simplicity. Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest for a while. Jesus invites us to rest, yet we treat rest as a four-letter word. If people are resting, we may be suspicious of them. If we are resting, we may be dubious about ourselves. There's always more to do. Further ways to justify our existence by what we produce. And in the face of this, Jesus just smiles and says, come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest for a while. If asked, most of us could recite something of the pattern of our work as we engage in it day by day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I wonder, though, can we do the same regarding our rest? Do we have patterns established that ensure that going off by ourselves to rest for a while is a reality for us, rather than simply a desire that we leapfrog over? We may lack such patterns of rest, but we can take steps to establish them. Gradually, we can build into our lives rhythms of rest and solitude to balance out the work rhythms that already push us so strongly. It can be done. In her book called Sabbath Keeping, Donna Shaper maintains that the Sabbath is not something to keep, but a way of living that helps us become people who work when it's appropriate, who rest when it's appropriate, and can even rest and work at the same time. She sees Sabbath as a road to living a life of plenty. It's an interesting notion that our work can be restful, isn't it? It's certainly not what our culture would have us to expect. To the contrary, we are exhorted in our occupations and our recreation to work hard and to play even harder. Yet at a critical time in my life, God showed me the importance of this principle. I originally trained for teaching. I never did make it into the elementary school classroom. I worked as a paraprofessional in special education, developmental disabilities in residential schools and later in community residences for the better part of 10 years. And then, because I was very, very sure that in order to be a success in this world, I had to push myself even farther, I took a master's degree in special education and went into the Philadelphia Public School District and promptly found myself assigned to a school in the inner city, a place where there were so many pressures put on so many people all day, every day, that even in the classroom, I could feel that pressure pushing on me as well as my students. And after about 3 years in, I couldn't go back one more day. And it was not for lack of the act of teaching. It was not for lack of the love of my students. It was just that I had been worn down to the point where I was a total burnout. Crispy crittered toast, as dry as you can get. And so, reluctantly, having come to the conclusion that I was not serving my students well, I resigned my position, not knowing what my next step would be. At the same time, I had come back into the life of the church after what I call my agnostic period that lasted about 10 years from college until this time. And I had made friends there, and one friend had had a baby on Memorial Day and had had her gallbladder out just about this time around Labor Day, and she needed someone to help her with her little baby. So she invited me over to knowing my direct care experience, and I spent about a month helping Elizabeth and Amelia. And in order to make it bearable for Elizabeth, who was not permitted to pick up her own child, we played upstairs, downstairs, and I became Nanny Marie. And I loved it so much that when they no longer needed me, I took a full-time position as a nanny. And it was a surprisingly wonderful situation for me. Now, my friends, and especially my fellow church members, well, they just didn't get it. They would ask me, how's the babysitting going? Yuppies, it was the 80s, what can I say? They didn't mean to be unkind, but it was a totally incomprehensible that I should leave a professional position to go off and be essentially a domestic worker in someone's home. But you know what? My little charge, Matthew, taught me so very much. Because during that time, I learned to nurture not only Matthew, but myself as well. Infants have a rhythm, and you have to get into their rhythm if you're going to take proper care of them. And pretty much the rhythm goes eat, play, rest. Eat, play, rest. Eat, play, rest. And during that time, God worked in me and healed me of my inner weariness, gave me time to see the church as the center of my life, led me to understand that work and church were destined to merge, and put into my heart this desire to always have a bit of that rhythm of eat, play, and rest. Rather like that lumberjack, my sense of purpose got sharpened in the midst of all the diapers and the drool. Returning to our passage, it's important to note that the disciples didn't just hightail it to the hills or off to the seashore, and yes, that's where I'll be going the end of next week. If you look carefully, you will see that they went away to get some quality time with the Master. It's a sad irony that in today's world we've lost this idea of Sabbath time being time with God. Indeed, we in the church are forced to compete with the leisure culture that tells folks that coming to corporate worship is a dreary duty which prevents one from getting out there and playing all the harder. But rest, without the source of our being there to revive us, may be a vacation, but that comes from the word vacant or vacate. But it sure isn't the recreation that prepares us to return all fresh and new. Some years ago, the U.S. News and World Report featured a cover story entitled The Faith Factor. And it included a look at a ministry in Detroit called Joy of Jesus. This was quite a while ago, so I don't know if they're still operational. But this was their experience. The ministry included job training and Bible study and prayer, together with a discussion of everyday problems in light of faith and a good bit of common sense. And the program proved so successful that it came to the attention of state officials. And they offered substantial funding for its expansion, but insisted that the religious emphasis be dropped. No prayer or Bible study due to separation of church and state. And apparently church and state money has to be separated in the same way. Well, you know, the program's founders didn't really like those conditions, but they decided to agree to them because the funding would be amazing in terms of their ability to reach people. Well, this new direction did not work out for them very well. The original program with no state funding, but with prayer and Bible study, had a success rate of nearly 60%. And the new program with no prayer or Bible study, but much, much more money, had almost no successes. And it wasn't long before the founders of the program turned down further state money. They returned to their original approach and began changing lives again. A lot of us live like this. We try to function without the rest to which Jesus invites us. We're plenty busy, but the results are rather disappointing. When we factor in some rest, some Sabbath time, then we're not working as much, yet what we do is more significant, more meaningful than it was when we were always just constantly on the go. We imagine, perhaps, that our Lord is just as demanding as our culture and assume that we must be willing to do something dangerous and daring and big and brave, when what we are asked to do is simple. We are asked to do something so very simple. We're asked to slip into the healing waters of a life that makes room for regular rest, a life that's marked by Sabbath time. My prayer for you this morning is that you will have encountered the risen Christ in this our time together and found some solace for your souls. And this being so, I charge you to take this precious gift of renewal with you this week. But don't hoard it. Give Christ's love freely in all you say and do. And don't forget to rest in between. To God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. And may all God's people say, Amen.